Good morning. Greetings of love in Jesus' name. Thank you for that song. That song kind of encapsulates what's been on my heart, especially that last verse. Oh, grant us light that we may learn how dead is life apart from thee. How sure is joy to all who turn to thee with an undivided heart. May we find that a reality in our lives. Turn with me to Mark 7 for a scripture reading. The title of my meditation is Mechanical Christianity or Living Reality. Why don't we all stand and read this scripture together? Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. Just wait till everyone has their place. Sounds like people are still getting their place. Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Part from me, ye that work iniquity. Keep standing for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we tremble at your word when we think of these words, and we think of the power that these people had in your name, and they were able to perform wonderful works, the mighty works of God that were able to perform in your name, and yet you never knew them. God, would you come down and meet with us today? Would you enable us to live in the reality of your Spirit, that we could know you in reality, that you would know us, that we could walk in your will, that the Holy Spirit could have free course in our lives, in our hearts, that we would be totally yielded to you, allowing you the lordship of our life. Lord, we look to you for strength. We pray, God, that you would anoint your word. We pray that your will could be done in our midst this morning. You would enable us to look at your word, to look at scripture like this that can cause trepidation in our heart. And that, God, as we search the scripture, we could search our hearts. But, Lord, we wouldn't stay in discouragement when we find things we don't like. But that we could rise up in faith towards you, allowing your Spirit to heal, allowing your Spirit to guide, allowing your Spirit to give us power to overcome sin, to live in victory, and to live for you. May you be glorified in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the reason for speaking on this subject is God's been putting a finger on his heart in my life. I feel like it's easy to be a mechanical Christian, just to go through the motions, to say the right words, to do the right things, without really having a love for God, without really... It's easy to become lukewarm. You know, I've been endeavoring to do some honest soul searching. Do I love God with all of my heart? Do I have a burden for the lost? You know, why don't I have more power in my life to respond rightly when people wrong me? You know, why does my heart get stirred up about certain circumstances? Why can't I just rest in God? Why don't I trust God more? You know, how do you process a scripture like we just read? You know, that causes for some soul searching if we're really honest with ourselves. You know, how do you process that? Does that cause a bit of trembling in your soul? Do you allow your heart and mind to really go there? Do you allow yourself to think, could that be me, God? Do you allow God to search your heart? Or have you trained your mind to not allow yourself to think about those things? Is that too difficult to think about? Do we just stuff those feelings? We just go on in blind faith. Oh, God loves me. You know, how do we process these things? The way we process these things is going to make a big difference in the outcome. You know, these people, they had power in Jesus' name to perform. You know, when you read a scripture like this, how do you come to a place of rest and confidence in God that God truly knows you? You know, I'm a good church member. I've been born again. I've led other people to Christ. I'm involved in ministry. I'm helping people. You know, according to the scripture that we just read, is that sufficient? That's not sufficient. So then where do we find our confidence? Acts 2:38. This is after the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost and they went out. And Peter was preaching to the multitudes and the multitudes said, you know, what shall we do? They were pricked in their hearts. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, if we have repented of our sin, if we surrendered our lives to the Lordship of Jesus and trusted in the shed blood to wash away our sins, then we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The question we need to ask ourselves is, am I continuing to walk in that surrender of Christ? Am I continuing to allow the Holy Spirit to guide me? Or have I grown lukewarm? Am I just going through the motions of Christianity? Or do I have the living reality of Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit living in me, flowing through me? I think we would hear all confess and believe that in the Old Testament time, the Holy Spirit was not poured on God's people as it is today. Would we all believe that? We say we believe that there's a greater power in the New Testament era, in the time an era that we live. There's a greater power to live above sin, to live for Christ. Do we actually believe that? Do I believe that? Does my life portray that I believe that? Or have I become accustomed to mediocre, lukewarm Christianity? Have I allowed the cares of this life? Have I allowed the things of this life, the love of money, the passions of my flesh to quench the Spirit? You know, we read about Old Testament characters like Daniel and Joseph. From what we can read, they lived above reproach. So why can't we? Why can't I live above reproach? Why are there times when my attitude is not above reproach? When my feeling towards my brother or my sister, my wife, my children, when there's impatience in my life, why can I not live above that? You know, so why don't we have more victory over lust, over anger, over self-pity, over jealousy, over bitterness? You know, why do those things have a stronghold in my life at times? You know, we can say all the right words. We can have good company manners in church when we're around our brothers and sisters. We can even convince ourselves we're pretty good Christians. Well, we're not like so and so. We're not as bad as those people. Have we become so used to mechanical Christianity and don't really expect a major change when people become born again? You know, if someone grew up in a dysfunctional home or if someone is in a difficult home life, do we allow those circumstances to make it? Do we use those excuses of why we are why we are? You know, do we use that as an excuse for that's why? Do we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost that can enable us to live in victory despite of our circumstances? Do I believe that? You know, did you grow up in a home with an angry father, a controlling mother? Or maybe you're still stuck in a situation where you feel like you're in a circumstances where people are less than ideal. People are not godly. Some always have godly actions. Or they become impatient and angry. Do you ever wonder if your parents or anyone really cares about you? You know, if God is real, if Christianity is real, why doesn't it change the way my parents act? Why doesn't it change the way my husband is? Why doesn't it change the way my wife is? You know, why doesn't it change the way the church is if Christianity is real? Do you ever think those things? Do you ever question those things? I love my father. And I love the example he's been to me in many ways. I know his heart has been for God. His heart has been, and in the setting he's grown up, in the setting he's been, his heart has been to live for God and to glorify God. And he's come a long way from what his grandfather was. I remember my grandfather. He was very rough around the edges. And yet, my father tried to control his anger, and yet he was an angry father. And it came out. He tried not to let it come out, and yet it came out. And that has shaped me. And sometimes it's felt like I have... I could never quite measure up to my father's expectations. And you know, that affects who I am now. It affects how I relate to God. You know, my tendency is to try to gain God's approval by the things that I do. My tendency is to try to gain your approval by the things that I do. There's a certain sense of insecurity in my heart and life. That I'm wanting the approval of God. I'm wanting the approval of my fellow peers. you know, how do you think it's going to work out for me to try to work out, to try to live in such a way that I get God's approval? You think I'll ever get there? What am I destined to? What am I setting myself up to? You know, I'm setting myself up for failure. I'm setting myself up for discouragement. You know, I think that is one of Satan's greatest tools today, is discouragement. You know, when we're discouraged, we really don't feel real motivated to do what's right. We really don't feel real motivated to love our brothers. We don't really feel motivated to love God. You know, how we think and what we think is what we become. You know, the thoughts, the wrong thought life, the wrong thinking that I have is who I become. You know, if we really want to have true change, if we want to live in the reality of God, and we don't want to just be mechanical Christianity, I think we need to stop and consider, how do we live life? How do I think about life? What's my thought life? You know, many of the things that we do in life, we do subconsciously. We don't necessarily say, well, I'm going to have this attitude, or I'm going to think this way. We do it by how we've been trained to think, how we thought. What we really need to do is we need to take our thoughts captive. You know, so how can I change from being a mediocre, mechanical, lukewarm Christian to walking in the reality of a living God within me? The Holy Ghost, the power of God, He will guide us. He will teach us if we allow Him to. You know, the way to learn to know someone is to ask questions, is to talk with them, communicate with them, hear what they're saying, hear what their heart is, hear what their passion is. Maybe we need to stop. Or maybe we need to take note of what we're thinking. Maybe we need to pay more attention to the thoughts that we have, to the thoughts that come into our mind, to how we think, how we view God, how we view ourselves, how we view our fellow man. It might tell us a lot about why we are where we are. You know, why is it that sometimes we hear convicting and heart-stirring messages, and we're going to change? We put some effort in, and we make some changes, but the changes aren't real lasting. Why is that? Could it be that the reason the changes aren't lasting is because I just make a few outward changes rather than allowing God and His Word to change the way I think, the way I view Him, the way I view my own sin, the way I view my own weaknesses? You know, if we're serious about change in our walk with God, maybe it's time to question ourselves and evaluate, what is my thought life? How do I view God? How do I view my own sin? How do I convince myself? How do I come to this place that I'm okay with the sins that are in my life? How have I convinced myself that the lust in my life isn't that bad? How have I convinced myself that the anger that comes out of my life isn't that bad? How have I convinced myself that the impatience that comes out of my life isn't that bad? You know, how have I gotten to that place? Isaiah 57, 14, 15 gives us a little bit of a, gives us some direction of how to get where we want to go. Isaiah 57, 14. I'm just going to break in there. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite one. What is that stumbling block in your life? What is that stumbling block in my life? What keeps us from living that vibrant, living reality in Christ? Is it pride? Is it selfishness? Is it unwillingness to surrender? Is it unforgiveness? Is it unbelief? Is it lack of fear of God? 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, the lack of me bringing my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my imaginations into the obedience of Christ. I think that's what is at the root of it many times. James 4 also gives us some direction of how to get closer to God, of how to walk in the reality of God. James 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So here, according to this scripture, many times we're trying to resist the devil on our own strength. We haven't submitted to God in every area of our life. And so we're trying to resist our flesh. We're trying to resist the devil on our own strength. We're trying to resist our flesh in our own strength. And we're no match for the devil. We're no match for our own strength. Without the power of God, we're doomed. But if we submit to God and we draw nigh to God, he has promised to draw nigh to us. We don't have to be without hope. If we find ourselves living a mechanical Christianity, if we find that we don't have that living vibrancy, that close communion with God, we don't have to be discouraged. We can find hope in the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13, these are Jesus' words. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God is for us. God wants to bless us with the Holy Spirit with power. He wants us to live victoriously. When we submit to him, when we draw nigh to him, he will fill us with, he will fulfill his promise and give us the power to overcome. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He gives us the power to become his sons, his children. Not only the power to someday live with him, but the power to walk, commune with him, to allow his spirit to guide us. Turn with me to Acts 1. This here is just before the ascension. I'm going to read Acts 1, 6 to 8. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, And ye shall witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus promised them that they would get a power. They would get a power to be able to live for him. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Philippians 3:9-11. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then also Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So are we allowing that spirit of God, that spirit that rose up Jesus from the dead, are we giving that free course? Are we allowing that to empower us? And then Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You know, when I'm really honest with myself and take a good look at my heart and life and face the insecurities in my life, the weaknesses, it can be quite overwhelming. It can look quite discouraging. If we want living reality, we need to face who we are. We need to face our weaknesses. We need to face our wrong thinking. We need to face our unbelief. We need to face our selfishness, our pride, and allow God's word and spirit to break our will, to break our pride. You turning to God in faith, believing that he will fill us with the power of his spirit, if we empty ourselves of our own will, our own agenda. So many times the reason God can't use me is because I have my own will. I have my own agenda. I'm not submitted. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Why don't you just turn there, 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1, starting in verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have that divine power available to us to live for him. Let us press on to true Christ-like living reality. The Holy Ghost, the power of God, is available for us. Let's not make excuses for our sin, our weaknesses, our lack of devotion for God. Let us press on in faith, allowing the Spirit and power of God to change our thinking, our attitudes, our actions. Committing our hearts and lives to daily submitting to his will, and thinking to God's will and thinking, resting in the work of Calvary, allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to change us more and more into image of him. You know, Satan wants us to get our eyes off of him. Satan wants us to focus on other people's problems and on our own problems. You know, why don't my parents, why don't my husband, why don't my wife, why don't my church live more victoriously? Why don't people have more of the power of God? You know, we can focus on that, and that gets us discouraged. Why don't I? Where am I? You know, my circumstances, the circumstances around me should not keep me from connecting with God and allowing His power to flow through me and allowing Him to use me. The power of God is available to all of us, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our upbringing, regardless of who we are. The power of God is available for each one of us to live above sin and to know God and for God to know us. Jude 1:24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.